Hosanna to the King. Nice to be back together once again. Is that me? I'd like to read tonight from Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we'll start at the 37th verse. Our topic once again is the second coming of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Unless you see a blood moon and a Jew tells you what it means. Somebody that's outside the message interprets it for you. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're grateful to be gathered together once again here in the evening time. We ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one, Lord. And Father, we know that the day is approaching, but Lord, if it were to be that you didn't come for another 50 years, then when you did come, none of us would say, well, if I'd have known that you weren't going to come for another 50 years, I would have done this, that, or the other. And I'm sorry that I lived like you were going to come at any moment. No. Each and every one will have the same testimony as those that have went on before us, that they are watching and waiting and looking for your coming with great expectation, knowing that that day is approaching. And no matter whether it's tonight or tomorrow or next week or next month, the main thing is we want to be ready for your coming. So we ask, Lord, that you would take this time that you've given us here tonight, and may it be multiplied to us. May everything that needs to be accomplished here tonight. May you speak to each and every heart, Lord. And we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that we're living in the age that the finalization, if you will, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied to take place. Jesus said that no one knows the hour. Now, he didn't say that and then correct it later on and say, well, you know, I got a little more revelation since I said that. No, nobody knows the hour. So if anybody tells you that they do, you know they're wrong. So we know better than that. And we know that it's actually for our own good. It's the tender hand of Jehovah that we don't know the precise day or the precise hour. And Satan would surely turn things up a notch if he knew the exact moment in time that this would occur, So Jesus also taught that this coming would be as a thief coming in the night. When he said, you know, if the goodman of the house had known what watch that the thief would come, he would have watched and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And then Paul picks up this very same thought in 1 Thessalonians 5:2 when he tells us that his coming is going to be as a thief in the night. And Peter, so here's another witness, three witnesses. Peter then follows up in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and tells us, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So when a thief comes in the night, everybody doesn't know about it, right? And as we've said before, if let's say you were to keep your treasures in a safe that's locked up, and let's say that it's maybe a necklace or something that you don't wear for just any occasion, or maybe you don't wear it at all. Maybe it's an heirloom that has been kept in the family and you want to pass it down from generation to generation. Well, you would keep it locked up. You wouldn't keep it out where somebody could steal it. You'd keep it locked up. And most people don't go and open their safe every single day and take a look at it. So in some cases, a good thief that would come in the middle of the night would come and take away your treasure, close the safe, and you won't even know that it happened. And then until the day that you did open your safe for some reason, you look in there and you'd say, well, what happened to it? It was there the last time that I looked in there. And somebody would say to you, well, when was the last time you looked? Well, let me see. I don't remember for sure. I think it was, you see what we're getting at? That means it's a secret coming. Now, everyone that has set a date for his coming has been wrong. And everyone that will set a date for his coming will also be wrong. And yet they'll still set dates. That's the amazing thing about it. And then what happens after they're shown to be wrong? Do they repent? Do they go on as if they never said it? What's wrong with just doing what he said? Keeping it simple. Those that went the way of the grave, well, they were looking for his coming, and they will not be disappointed at his coming. This coming, the meeting in the air, will be a secret. And only those that are a part of his coming, those that are watching, those that are looking, those that are ready, will know that he even came. Only those that he's coming for will know that he even came. This world will miss this coming. Because this coming is not the same coming that the world will see later. And since they can't rightly divide the word, to them it's all one and the same. They read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Well, this is not his secret coming. If the whole world, if every eye shall see him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Well, that's not a secret coming. That's his third coming. No, this second coming that we're speaking of will be a secret catching away. And only those that are looking for him will see him when he comes and go with him in the meeting in the air. So it is absolutely essential that we know what to look for and that we be looking for it and that we're ready to go at any moment in time. Now, Noah preached the coming of the Lord, the coming of the flood in his day. He preached that for 120 years. But he didn't know the exact day. In fact, when the Lord led him to go in the ark. Then the Lord shut the door. And Noah still didn't know the day. It was another 8 days before the flood took place. So the Lord knew the day. And the others thought, well, I could, you know, eat, drink, be merry. If this even does happen, it won't happen in our time. And when the day came, Noah was ready. But the world was not. So was it in the days of Sodom. And so will it be at this coming that we're looking for. Now, we should expect his coming to be at any time. And the church says. And we need to be sure that we're looking for the right things according to his word. If we're expecting a tent meeting to take place first, you say, well, why do you keep dwelling on this? Well, you know, Brother Branham had a vision of a tent. And everybody's a prophet. Everybody has tried to interpret that according to what they think that it means. And some make it a literal tent and interpret it as a literal tent. And they believe that that literal tent has to be set up and there has to be meetings in it and the bride has to travel around for weeks and months and months, and they go so far as to say that your body change will take place in that little room in the tent. But Brother Branham wasn't saying this has to take place or this will be the coming of the Lord, and we'll see that here in just a moment. So if you're going to say what he said, well, then make sure that you say what he said and don't try to interpret it. So if we're expecting a tent meeting to take place first with several days or weeks or months of meetings and with an expectation to learn something new that we haven't heard yet, well, then we will miss his coming. And if we're looking for a woman president to come, you'll miss his coming. Or if you're looking for America to smolder from coast to coast, you've missed his coming. Or for planets and asteroids to line up in a certain way, you're looking for the wrong thing. And we will miss his coming. If we're looking for a prophet to return to finish his message because it wasn't finished, the message that was already brought, well, we're going to miss the coming of the Lord. And yet again, if we're watching and waiting, then what manner of lives ought we to be living? Can we have something in our heart against a brother or sister and allow it to go even 24 hours before making it right? Can we leave things undone that we know that we ought to deal with? Can we worry about the affairs of this life and allow that to become our focus? Can we stay home when the church doors are open for just any reason? My favorite one is going by feelings. I don't feel like it. Well, you know, I'm feeling a little ache coming on. I'm sure you are. It wasn't there until you started feeling it come on. I think I had to stay home and stream. My question for you tonight is, do you do that when it comes to your work? Do you feel a little ache coming on? And do you stay home and stream from work? You do that and the stream will dry it up. Or you'll be in the stream. Now, just, you know, don't worry about the numbers here, but just to kind of give us an idea about what we're talking about. If we work 40 hours per week, and we get 2 weeks of vacation and sick leave a year, well, that means that we are going to work an average of 50 work weeks a year out of 52 weeks. That's 2,000 hours that you're going to work throughout the year. And that means that we are not at work 4% of the work time throughout the year, if taking the 2 week vacation and sick leave. If we applied that same math to the church, what would that look like? If we're just looking at regular church services, two services on Sunday and one on Wednesday, well, then there's about 156 services per year, and that's not counting special meetings. So if we missed 4% of the services, then that would be about 6 services a year, if you treat it like you do your job. That's 2 weeks worth. You say, but Brother Baker, I get 4 weeks of vacation and sick leave per year at work. Okay, double it. Then that's 12 services. Let's say that you don't come on Wednesdays, but you do come on Sundays. Well, there are 52 Wednesday services per year. So you're missing 1/3 of the church services. Oh, well, I just come Sunday morning. Well, now you're missing 2/3 of the services, plus the special meetings. And you're excited about the coming of the Lord. Now, some will take this kind of preaching and say, well, he's trying to control me. What we're doing is just asking you an honest question. And that is, how soon do you expect the coming of the Lord to be? And what are you doing about it? We are commanded to watch and to pray and to be ready. Just as we are commanded to daily pray and read our Bibles. And we want to do those things. So is that what we're doing? Now, if he came during the service tonight, would we be ready? Oh, it's not communion night, so I wasn't expecting to be ready. What's communion have to do with it? We're having communion tonight. Or are we looking for his coming only at certain times? When our side doesn't hurt, then we're looking for his coming. I sprained my eyelash, so. Or when things are not busy at work, then we're looking for his coming. Or we're not busy at school, then we're looking for his coming. Now, there absolutely are legitimate reasons for not making it to church. Just when the doors are open. Just as there are legitimate reasons for not going to work. And nobody has ever been criticized for announcing that you were going to take some time off because you're sick, or you have an ox in the ditch, or you're taking vacation, or what have you. We're not coming to church so that we can get stars in our little book. And, you know, I've got a perfect attendance roster. Well, that's nice. That's not the point. You're coming because you want to be ready. And you want to be here. And this is where you are brought to maturity. This is where you're molded. This is where you're shaped. This is where you're exhorted, instructed, corrected, fine-tuned. And this is where you are contributing your portion to the body. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's not going to be on my conscience. Jesus' apostles, they asked the Lord, when shall these things be? And their question was, you know, they're asking about the end time and when these different things were going to take place. And Jesus answers their questions in order. And the theologians throughout the ages, they couldn't follow this questions and answers session. And they didn't recognize he was speaking this about the Jews, he's speaking this about the Gentiles, he's speaking this about what will take place to the Jews in that day, what will take place at the end time. But by the light of this hour, by the message of this hour, it sets us straight on this questions and answers session that the disciples had with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that believing in the rapture, that's not going to put you in the rapture. Any more than saying, I believe in the Holy Ghost, will fill you with the Holy Ghost. They were looking for the Messiah to come at his first coming, but many totally missed it because of what they were looking for. And his first coming wasn't a secret. like his second coming is. You see, it's promised that it'll be a secret in this age and that only the elect will catch it. It's part of what's under that seventh seal. Revelation 22:20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That was written 2,000 years ago. Of course, we know the day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, so it's 2 days in God's time. So the coming of the Lord, the subject of the coming of the Lord, has been taught on ever since the angels declared when he ascended that the same one that ascended will come in like manner. And through the ages, the understanding of this got a little murky. But starting with the Reformation, his coming began to be seen in a clearer and clearer light. The Catholic Church is not actually looking for a coming, but they're looking for a millennial reign. But the Protestants have been looking for his coming. And Satan knows that it is essential that we know what to look for. So Satan tries to bring confusion once again after the light of the hour has shone on the Word and shown us what to look for. And it's not complicated. So when the resurrection comes, friends, there's going to be wave after wave after wave coming forth from the sixth dimension to pick up bodies. And only the elect of God will see that. And those that are waiting for this coming, they'll know exactly what to look for. And those that are coming back to the earth will also know exactly what to look for because they went down with the right expectation. They're not going to be looking for a tent. They're not going to come and knock on your door and say, "Brother Lucas, do you know where the tent is? I don't want to miss it. Well, the last I heard, Brother Perry bought it and it's over in this..." He actually did buy a tent. That's neither here nor there, but he did. In taking sides with Jesus, June of 1962, when St. Martin awakes in the resurrection, St. Paul and all the rest of them, it'll be just as fresh as if they was right in the battling right away. Because they went down under the same anticipations, looking for his coming, and there'll be a scream come, and up will come the whole church. You see, that'll be it. So it doesn't matter. He says they will be just as fresh as those that have recently crossed over. They will come up fresh. They won't be moldy and stale, and it won't be some night of the living dead. They'll come up fresh. They'll come up with anticipation. They'll come up with being excited. And those that are alive and remain, they'll be fresh too. Anticipation for his coming is a prerequisite. If you're not excited about his coming, you won't see it. It's not just believing Malachi 4 was sent. The devil believes that. It's not just wearing women's clothes if you're a sister or a man acting like a man if you're a brother. Those things come with our day and with the Word. But it's more than that. Again, he says, see, from the same message, see, we've got to be looking for him right now. We don't know. It could be hundreds of years from now. It could be 500 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years. I don't know. Nobody knows. But say, for instance, that we live each day that he was coming that day. See? If we live like he was coming this day, well, when we awake, if we sleep and we awake in the resurrection, it'll be just as fresh as if we'd just fallen asleep and woke up. That's quite a statement there. The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. See, so it will be just as fresh. Amen. This doesn't sound stale to me. It doesn't sound old. It doesn't sound like a broken record. It sounds like somebody's excited. Yes. Now, as we mentioned this morning, I can remember as a child how I anticipated birthdays coming. Trips to the state fair, summer vacations, the first day of school, the last day of school, and so forth. There was an anticipation that came with these events. And there was a preparation and a looking for these events. And those events didn't just come and go. I was looking for them. And the anticipation was not stale when those times came. I want Jesus to be so fresh in my experience that I just can't hardly wait for him to come and to meet him in the air. And I believe that's how it will be with everyone that has went on before us. So we saw this morning, we went into great detail of what some of the scriptures teach concerning his second coming. But let's look at the light of this age that's shining upon that very same word and see how it's taught again in our day. Because I want the same expectations to go with the doctrines, and I want the same life to go with it as well. So again, in taking sides with Jesus. But now, until that time, until he comes, we want to live each day like he might come the next minute. Because it might be the end of your life at that minute. You don't know when you are going. This may be some of our last breath. We have it in us now. So you want to live like it is. Now that doesn't mean being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Well, I'm not going to work because the Lord might come today. You can still go to work and be ready for his coming. You can still make dinner and be ready for his coming. You can still do your homework and be ready for his coming. But friends, not only could he come at any time, but we could individually be taken before he comes. We don't know. In time-tested faith, he said, no bombs can strike until Jesus takes his church. He's gone. It might be at any minute. So if you're looking for the destruction of the world as a sign, you missed it. Forget about bombs. Forget about wars. Forget about rogue nations. Forget about communism. Forget about radical Islam. Forget about politics. No bombs can strike until. Sudden destruction doesn't come until. Now, this was 2 years after the tent vision when he said these things. Listen to this. It is I, be not afraid. We come tonight. Actually, this one isn't, but that previous one is. Yes. We come tonight with open hearts to receive him, knowing that we are living in the closing days of the world's history, knowing that at any minute Jesus could come. Amen. Now, if we thought that he could come today, how could we hold grudges? How could we think bad thoughts about people and allow those thoughts to remain? How could we let things linger? We all make mistakes, of course. But do we make things right when we should? Again, from Abraham and his seed, he says, well, the church has come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, gifts ministered to it. And now what? The Spirit of God moving in the church, doing the same works that Jesus did before he left, as a promise. And what's the next thing? What's the next thing? The change. The next thing that happened to Abraham was a changed body. He had to have it, or he would have never got the son, Isaac. And the next thing that happens to the church is the rapture. And we have to be changed, caught up in the air to meet him. And we can't meet him on the earth. We've got to meet him in the air. We've got to go to the air to meet him. It's the coming Son, the promised Son. Amen. We've looked for him now for hundreds of years. He will come someday. But the next thing for the church is to be changed. We've had every sign. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, placing of a Son, manifestation of the Spirit. Now what? The changing of the body for the rapture. That's what I'm looking for. But there's an internal change that has to come first. We must be born again of the Spirit in order for there to be an outward change later on. Any true believer can spiritually meet with him on the earth without having a changed body first. In fact, that's what's taking place right now. But to physically meet him, we have to first be physically changed. And we're not worrying about the body change. There's not one thought in my head that's going to have anything to do with my body being changed. I'm not changing my body. He is. But I'm believing in it. But we know that we must be living daily with him in order to be a part of that rapture. Now, this isn't like some kind of a duty. You know, you've got to go to work so many hours. Or if you're in a love affair with him, you will walk with him daily. You will want to walk with him daily. It's not like we live a certain way and then some point in time down the road, some supernatural thing takes place and then we're surprised that we're changed. Wow. My body just got changed. How'd that happen? No, you're expecting it. And we live in a daily walk with him. Again, in Abraham and his seed, after him, he says, oh my, how the church ought to be waving its hands in glory, thanking God, any minute the change could come. For the Bible said it'll be universal. Jesus said there'll be two in the mill grinding. I'll take one and leave one, two in the field. I'll take one and leave one, two in the bed. Showed that it would be on both sides of the earth, all around the globe. While it's night on one side, it'll be day on the other. I'll take one, I'll leave one. The rapture will be universal, and their bodies will be changed. Our bodies will have to be changed. We just can't turn back to young men and women. We've got to have a different kind of a body so you can be caught up in the air to receive the promised Son. That's what the church is waiting for now, the true church. So, God's church, the bride of Jesus Christ, is under anticipation and is also under a sense of urgency and is busy looking for that last one. Again, in Be Not Afraid, we'd just be in such a grand unity for the coming of the Lord, which I believe is near at hand now. I believe we're living in the very shadows of it. This is 1962, 60 years ago. I believe we're living in the very shadows of it. And if he doesn't come today, I'll be looking for him tomorrow. And if he doesn't come this year, I'll be looking for him next year. Just whenever, I want to be looking every minute for his coming. Carrying on, just doing what I can, but still believing that he's coming at any time. Being prepared for it. And I think the preparation of the church should stand in that status at all times. That we should certainly be watching for the coming of the Lord. That's how we keep ourselves under ourselves. Now, in the Old Testament, we know that when Elohim came to Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 100 years old. And Sarah was, what, 75? Or they were old. When they were young, they couldn't have children. So something was wrong with somebody's, with Sarah's female organs, if we could put it that way. We know it wasn't Abraham because Sarah said, well, maybe that promised son is supposed to come through Hagar. And we know that Abraham and Hagar were together and what that produced. So Abraham was able, even in his older age, to still bring forth that life. But Sarah was, she never was. Even when she was young. So in order to be, and now she'd already went through the change of life and everything. So in order for them to bring forth this Isaac, they had to have a body change. And so Elohim comes to commune with Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah was a little fussy on the day that he showed up. But Abraham was sitting at the door of the tent. He was waiting for something. Now, friends, this is just a type and a shadow showing us that Abraham was in expectation of a visitation before a change came, right? And he was watching, looking, waiting for something. But then Sarah got over her fussiness, and she ended up getting the very same faith that Abraham had, and they were both looking next for the change so that the promised son would come. There are people today that are looking for Muhammad to come on a white horse. And so they have a white horse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They've got a white horse waiting at his tomb or whatever it is so that when he comes, he'll have a white horse to ride on. And that same spirit has come amongst us. Not necessarily, I don't mean us in this church, but amongst Christianity here in this last day. And some are looking for a prophet to come on a white horse. Do you know what you are supposed to do in the meantime? Well, Jesus instructed us what to do. We're taught how to conduct ourselves. And we're taught to watch and wait, to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. For the time is at hand. Now, what was the messenger of this age looking for after the opening of the word? Thank you for asking. In the message, the world is falling apart. This is April 12th of 1963, so in case it matters to anybody. Our nation is rotten to the roots. That's right. There's no hope for it. It's all gone. There's only one thing to look for: the coming of the Lord. There's only one thing to look for: the coming of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that there's still not one here and one there that's coming in, but the nation as a whole. You can't even call it a Christian nation any longer. In fact, if you do call it a Christian nation, you get locked up for it. That's hate speech. And yet it was founded on Christian principles. So we're not looking for some great national revival to take place here in America, right? We're not looking for some new tape that was missing to all of a sudden show up so that we can hear something we haven't heard before. We're not looking for a new teaching. We're not looking for a private resurrection. We're not looking for a tent meeting. We are looking for his coming. And some are trying to announce still and emphasize still the coming of the forerunner. Now, when Jesus came, why would you spend all your time saying, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, John the Baptist? When Jesus is here, he was foreran by John the Baptist. John the Baptist played out his part. Nothing wrong with speaking on that, but to emphasize that to the point where you're not talking about the one that he foreran. The forerunner has come and gone. And the one that he foreran, Christ the Word, has already been introduced. So what is our attention upon? Christ. But Jesus Christ has not come in his coming in the air yet. That's what we're waiting for, right? Again, the world is falling apart. Solemnly, I ask you this question. Some of you may not even return tonight. This may be my last time of ever seeing you on the earth. Jesus may come before the night. There may be a destruction before night. Now, he's not saying there will be. He's just saying we don't know. It could happen, you know, at any time of that secret coming of the church. As we mentioned this morning, the coming of the Lord is also the coming of the church. It's the church of all the ages coming forth and being changed and having a body just like him and going to meet him in the air and to be with him at the great wedding supper in the heavens. So this is the expectation of the messenger of the age. So if that's his expectation, then what am I going to look for? What brother so-and-so says about it? It's the coming of Christ and his bride. Again, in the message, look, again, April 28th of 1963. And as a group of believers today, assembled together, we want to fix our thoughts, our principles, and things upon the coming of the Lord, looking for Christ, who shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation to those that believe and are looking for him to come. God here, by the writer, is inviting us to view this and to look at it. The writer says here, we look for Christ the second time to see him as he is. Look at the church today. It's in its chaos, all mixed up and everything. It's looking. And we got more in there. We got better than they have. We're this or we're that or we're the other. So they're comparing themselves with one another instead of looking for him. He says, and there that bride is looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus, which that secret coming of Christ shall come and catch away his bride in the night. Like a book I read of Romeo and Juliet one time, how he come with a ladder and got his bride out among them. That's what Jesus will come someday. And looking for that one is not looking to his creeds, but looking to Christ, waiting for him to come with his heart centered. So we're looking to him, looking for him to come, and our heart is centered on him. So we're not looking for creeds. We're not looking for some exclusive teaching that says us four and no more. That's so pitiful, isn't it? Things that are teachings that are not based on Scripture or are based on Scripture, but they're scripturally hitchhiking. They're taking something here and something there and combining it together, putting things together that don't belong together. Misplacing or misinterpreting the word. We'll stay with that word. And we'll stay only with that word. And every revelation can plainly be taken back to the word. If we can't take our revelation back to the word, then it's not a revelation. Because revelation means unveiling or revealing. Well, I know what I'm trying to say, but I just can't explain it. No, I remember saying that myself. I remember saying that in an English class. And I remember my professor saying to me, well, Doug, that's just not true. Well, I got, you know, what do you mean that's not true? Well, if you knew what you were going to say, you'd say it. Oh, no, I know what I'm trying to say, but I can't say it. No, if you did know what you were trying to say, you'd say it. It's getting real quiet. It's true. So I don't want anything that's mixed with anything else here in the end time. We've come too far. I don't want this church teaches this or that one teaches that or the popular opinion is or this one says this or that one says that. Well, what does the word say? Now, the tape churches are are listening again to the seals, and they're being told that as they're listening to them as a group, that they are getting new revelation that wasn't supposed to be revealed until now. Sorry you missed it the first time. But what they're getting is creeds. And they're being told, well, you just need to get it from here, but somebody's interpreting it to them ahead of time. Their leader says that he's coming into his ministry now, and he is. But we aren't looking for another word prophet or for further light that the messenger hasn't already brought. And any new revelation would have to be traced directly back to the word. And it would have to dovetail with the scripture. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. What about those that aren't looking for him? Well, there's no promise made to those that aren't looking for him. But unto those that are looking for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, looking for him, friends, it's not that you're opening up your window every morning and getting your telescope out and, you know, do you see him yet? That's not what we're talking about. It's an attitude. It's a state of mind. It's an approach. I know that he could be coming today. So I'm going to make sure that I'm dressed right, that I'm washed by the water of his word, that I've got all the little details. He's going to be pleased. I'm going to be ready for him. It's an attitude. It's an approach. Again, and there's only one way provided by God for anything. This is July of 1963. God has got a way of doing things, and we must do it the way that he does it. If it isn't, well, then it's not effective. Jesus found something like it when he came in his day. He said, you, by your traditions, you've made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. See, they had hybrid it into it. They had injected into God's commandments their own traditions. And the people really couldn't tell what was God's word and what was man's teaching, because it was so mixed together. Remember, they came to the Lord and, you're letting your disciples eat with dirty hands? Well, where did that come from? Can you give me a scripture where it says you got to wash your hands before you eat? There isn't a scripture for that. But they turned it into an oral scripture. And they made the word of God of none effect. Today, I know it's become the same thing, he says. So the same way that it was in his first coming, the attitude of so many is the same today as it was then. He says, there's not a thing left, my Christian friend, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was he looking for? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. There is nothing left, my Christian friend, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that the church has. So you're not looking for something else. You're looking for him. So we don't want the word of God that's been restored back to the church to become of none effect. And the way it becomes of none effect is that we mix it with creeds and traditions and men's ideas over the word. And only a little injection will paralyze the power of the word in our lives. Now, the word itself doesn't lose its power, but the effect of it in our lives is determined by what we accept, what we believe. So if we mix the pure word of God with anything, well, then it's no longer the pure word of God, and it can't help us. And God is not going to fulfill something that isn't his word. He is obligated to his word, and he will fulfill his word. It will not return unto him void. It'll accomplish the thing that he sent it to do. But we're talking about his word, not what somebody else said. Now, Satan wants to contaminate the hope of the church here in this last hour, as he's tried to do every step of the way throughout time. He wants us to get drunk on the cares of this life so that we lose our focus, we become numb to the spiritual things, and we're just caught up in natural things. But we want to be alive and we want to be fresh at his coming. And the church says. So what would happen if you were to say tonight, well, he's not going to come for another 20 years. I'm just sure of that. And then you were to get into an accident after the service and you were killed. God forbid. What would happen? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. You would lay there for 1,000 years. You would not be in the first resurrection. You'd come up at the second resurrection. And then you'd come before that great white throne judgment. And you'd be judged. With that attitude, how can God get your attention? Because you have said he's not coming until such and such a time, but only he knows when he's coming. So a Christian lives with a frame of mind every day that he could come at any time, and not just on communion night. Again, how can I overcome? This is August of 1963. And now, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, those who really love his coming, that's living for it, when he appears in the sky, the church that's dead in Christ shall rise, and those will be changed in a moment. The rest of them will know nothing about it. Remember, he appeared to those in the city. Remember at his first resurrection, and the Old Testament saints came forth, and there were many that there were some that were seen by believers in the city, but the others in the city didn't see him. The rapture will be like that. We'll see each other, and we'll see them. The rest of the world won't see them. It'll be caught away as a secret going, waiting for that time. Then the returning back to the earth for that glorious millennium, the 1,000 years, the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. So friends, we can have vacations, of course. We can enjoy our kids. We can, if we are blessed, we can then enjoy our grandkids. We can shop at the mall. We can enjoy a sunset. Nothing against any of those things. But we can do those things and also be ready for the Lord to come at any moment. That's the point. The things that they were doing in Noah's day were not wrong. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. But that's all they were doing. They were not preparing for this flood that was coming. They were not being obedient to God's provided way. So we can do those things and be ready for the coming of the Lord at any moment. Well, then why mention those things? Because for some, those things are the focus. They are drunk on the things of the world. And they're not even aware that they're missing something. Because they're so focused on the here and now. So the greatest thing on the mind of the believer is the coming of the Lord. First and foremost. And they are living for it. Again, in the Message Influence, November of 1963. I guess you can see where this is going, right? That sign of his coming proves that the coming is right at hand now. It could come at any time. I don't see nothing to hinder the rapture of the church right now. Oh, well, wait a minute. Don't we have to do this? And don't we have to do that? And doesn't this have to happen? Doesn't that happen to happen? I don't see nothing to hinder the rapture of the church right now. Oh, but what about the tent? Really? Now listen, friends. If you take that interpretation of that tent vision literally, How can you set up a big old tent, cart it around the world, and someone get changed in a tent, and reporters interview them, which is part of what was in the tent vision, and the world doesn't know anything about it? Doesn't fit, does it? The sign of his coming is the revealing of the Son of Man. It's Christ, the Word, being made known to the church. We're not looking for an airplane to take us out of here. How pitiful. I mean, we're beyond airplanes anyway. If you're going to cook up something, make it a space capsule. Because this is the astronaut age. But I'm looking to travel like a thought. I don't know about you. If I got to have an airplane, I'm disappointed. Again, God is his own interpreter. 1964, February. See where we're at? I believe we're at the coming of the Son of God right now. I believe we're at the age of the very hour that he might appear at any time. I believe the scriptures declare that we're in the last hours of the history of the world. So where are we at? What time is it? Again, the token. He said this was the most important message that he brought. 1964, February 8th. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. The message could not be till now. The world wasn't in a condition as until it is now. Till it's in now. This is the hour that Jesus could appear at any time, and the church says. Amen. Again, broken cisterns, July of 1964. Some people might be under the impression that I think that Jesus is going to come in the morning or tonight. I do. Now, I don't say that he will. And again, he might not come for next week. He might, and it might be next year. It might be 10 years. I don't know when he's coming. Is that clear? Nobody does. I don't know when he's coming. But there's one thing I always want you to bear in mind. You be ready every minute or hour. See, that if he doesn't come today, he might be here tomorrow. So just keep that in mind, that he's coming. And I don't know what time is going to be my last hour here on this earth. Neither does any of us. And there's none of us that knows when he's coming. He doesn't even know himself by his own words. He said the Father only knows when he will come. Not even the Son knows when he will come. It's when God sends him to us again. But we're looking for his coming. And if he doesn't come in my generation, he might come in the next. And if he doesn't come in that one, he'll come in the next. But for myself, I can't see hardly any time left. All these other things being fulfilled. To me, it could happen at any minute. Now, that does not mean now that you'll see the heavens change. And that's not the coming that I'm speaking of. I'm talking of the rapture. Is that clear? Again, he says, when he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll be just an absence of people. They won't know what happened to them. The world is falling apart. It'll really fall apart because you're a bunch of nuts right now. But the nuts are what holds the bolts together. You take off the nuts and the bolts fall loose, everything falls apart. They're wanting to tear down any standard. Anything that's God said this or God says that. They want to tear it all down. And it's fitting with this age because everything is falling. If you tear down every standard, this whole quote-unquote progressive idea, it's not one of building. That's the thing. If people could just get that through their minds. The whole progressive movement is tearing down. It's not building anything. It's tearing down what's already there. Right. But what's left? A mess. A world falling apart. Nothing has a foundation. Friends, if there's no stand on anything, if there's no absolute, if there's nothing that we can agree on that says right is right and wrong is wrong, well, then where are we at? Then it's just a matter of opinions. We're already seeing that come to pass. It's your opinion about what sex you are, or whether you're even a human being or not. I'm starting to have my doubts. He doesn't even know himself by his own words. He said, the Father only knows when he will come. Not even the Son knows when he will come. It's when God sends him to us again, but we're looking for his coming. And if he doesn't come in my generation, he might come in the next. If he doesn't come in that one, he'll come in the next. But for myself, I can't see hardly any time left. To me, it could happen at any minute. In other words, there's no prophecies that are left to be fulfilled. There's no word that hasn't been fulfilled yet, except for his coming. Is that clear? Now, that doesn't mean you'll see the heavens change. That's not the coming that I'm speaking of. That's the third coming. I'm talking of the rapture. He says, when he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll just be an absence of people. They won't know what happened to them. They'll just be caught away. I mean, every day there's... how many people come up missing every day that you never even hear about? They'll just be caught away in a moment. And they'll just come up missing. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. Friends, it's not going to be airplanes flying in the sky and all of a sudden they're all, you know, the pilot was went in the rapture and everybody else didn't. So the plane wrecks. You know, you're out on the road and the bus driver disappears and the bus crashes into the buildings. And everybody will know if that happens. It wasn't that way in the first resurrection. The dead of the Old Testament saints, and there wasn't a bunch of confusion. Now, of course, it wasn't people that were on the earth that were being caught up, but there were people that were being caught up that were seen by people that were on the earth, and yet it still didn't cause a bunch of confusion. When he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll just be an absence of people. They won't know what happened to them. They'll just be caught away in a moment. And they'll just come up missing. Changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. No one can find them. Wouldn't it be too bad to know that it's done past and you missed it? So just keep before God. Well, what about a tent? Just keep before God. We are in an Enoch walk in type. Enoch walked with God until one day God said, you know what, Enoch? You're spending more time here than you are there. Why don't you just continue on? Why don't you just come on home? We're in that kind of a walk. We're walking with our Lord, and we need to remain in it. Every minute, every hour, every day. Well, you said that I can't go on vacation. Just make sure that he goes with you. Don't take a vacation from God. So let me ask you tonight, friends. Are you living under the anticipation that he could come at any moment? Or are you caught up in the here and the now, the frustration of work, or the frustration of this, or the frustration of that? He can come at any moment. Well, Brother Doug, what about rapturing faith? That's what this message is. But, no buts. Well, we thought, shouldn't have done that. Isn't that what they did? Well, we thought Elijah was supposed to come before you came, Lord. He said he already did come. And they did with him whatsoever they listed. John the Baptist. They took his head off. Well, we thought, did it hurt? That's, you know what I love so much about this? Is that I don't have to figure anything out. I just have to believe. Believe his word. And his word cannot fail. How many can say amen to that tonight? So the expectation is in our soul. And the flesh has to be brought into subjection every single day and kept there. The flesh has to be reminded time and time again to be focused, to do things. But the soul is looking, the soul is expecting, it is loving, it is ready, it is in anticipation. And no, friends, we're not trying to scare anybody into a rapture. First of all, you won't go in a rapture out of fear. It's a love affair. But we need to keep our focus. We need to know what it is that we're focusing on. And we can't be in a relationship with Christ the Word and not know it. But Brother Baker, we're waiting for a super duper revival to come. Really? I'm not. I know that there's going to be a great outpouring just before his coming, but I'm not waiting for that. I know there's got to be a super anointing to change our bodies. But I'm not saying when I see that, well, then I'll get serious. Questions and answers, August of 1964. Will the bride, before Jesus comes, will she have all power of the Holy Ghost to perform miracles, raise the dead, and so on, as in the latter rain? Or is this the latter rain for the 144,000 Jews? Will all ministers have this? Are we, or are we just waiting for the coming? We're just waiting on the coming of the Lord. I'm glad people ask these questions. We're just waiting on the coming of the Lord. Just wait. Keep your lamps trimmed. All filled full of oil. Pray up every hour. Not every day, every hour. Just keep ready. Be ready. Be sweet. Now, the only way you can be sweet is to be in prayer. You sweeten your life with prayer. And watching. Oh, we're watching for the coming of that glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray. For the Lord is coming back to earth again. That is it. That's it. That's the hope of the church in this hour. Again, he says, in God's provided place of worship. This is April of 1965. So you can quit sweating. We got to 65. And you know there isn't anything after that. So we must be getting close, right? In this great hour that we're living, under this great expectation of the appearing of our lover, the Lord Jesus, at any time, we thank thee for this in our heart, that we believe that he will come in our generation. We are looking for him today. If he isn't here today and we're here tomorrow, we'll be looking for him tomorrow. See, that's the attitude. That's the approach. And then again, in leadership, this is right up December 7th of 1965. While we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and please bow your heart at the same time, will you? I just want to ask you a question. Do you really look at yourself to God, and do you feel that you're not where you ought to be at this hour? Because the rapture could come at any time. Simple, isn't it? What are you watching for? His coming. What are you waiting for? His coming. I'm not looking for a sign in the heavens. I'm not looking for a sign in the United States. I'm not looking for a sign from somebody else. I'm not looking for the church to get on fire. If you're not in revival now, you never will be. The revival is when you get born again of the Spirit. But this revival doesn't end in the church going down as they did in each other age, but this revival ends in the coming of the Lord. And the church says,
amen.
You see how simple this is?
Right.
It's simple in thought. It's simple in word. But it takes a discipline, right? It takes a focus. It takes an approach to get up in the morning. And before, you know, instead of ready, fire, aim. If you don't understand that analogy, you know, it's usually ready, aim, fire. You know, I'm ready, I'm aiming at the target, I fire at the target. Well, if you're ready, you aim at the target, and you fire at the target, you shouldn't be surprised if you hit the target. But if it's ready, fire, and then aim, well, I'm surprised if you ever hit the target, right? So, in other words, why would we get up in the morning and not pray, not seek the Lord, launch off into our day, and then start saying, Lord, this went wrong and that went wrong, and I got this problem and that problem. Well, yeah. Did you bring him into your day? Did you ask him to lead you and guide you, to provide for you? I mean, there some of the things that you face could have been avoided in prayer. Amen? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's stand. This is not making yourself super spiritual. This is not you trying to make yourself an oddball. But if your focus is on the coming of the Lord, then what will your speech be about? What will your conversation be about? If that's your focus, well, if other people are not focused on that, then guess what? You're going to seem odd to them, right? But you're not trying to be odd. When Jesus came, he came, he looked just like everybody else. He dressed like everybody else. He worked as a carpenter. So he didn't in any way try to make himself odd. But he was odd. Because he said, I do only my Father's will. I seek to only do my Father's will. Let thy will be done. He was focused. The most focused life that's ever been lived on the face of the earth was that life. He had a one-track mind. He didn't get pulled this way or that way. He kept focused. And I believe that every son or daughter of God has to have the same kind of a focus, right? It's not, you won't maybe live a life just like he did, of course. The fullness of the Godhead was in him, and his mission was so great and so world-changing and so dependent on so many things, and he faced the devil personally in battles. But you've got something to do too. You've got a purpose that you've been put here for. And in order to achieve that purpose, you have to keep your focus, right? And you have to check every now and then and see where you're at and check and see where you came from, see if you're still going in the right direction, right? Reevaluate, count your blessings. But we have to keep our focus. As pilgrims and strangers, knowing that this world is not our home, we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. This world is not our home. We're passing through. We're occupying until he comes. We're doing what we know to do. If we If you're a farmer, farm. If you're a mechanic, turn wrenches. If you're a real estate person, sell real estate. Whatever it is. If you're going to school, go to school. But keep him before you. And keep the goal before you. Keep that purpose before you. And then realize just how privileged you are to be living at the very closing hours of this great plan of redemption. If there was, you're living in the golden hour, the golden age. If you could have looked down through time and chosen a time to live, if you would have chosen this day, you would have made a tremendous choice. This is a great day. It's a dreadful day too. It's a great day. It's a dreadful day. It's an age of contrasts. It's never been so light. It's never been so dark. We've never been so blessed. There's never been such filth. We've never had such a power and a stand and never had the fullness of the word like this, and except for the first age. We've never had such darkness and unbelief and doubt. So it's a great hour of contrast. But rather than look at that contrast and focusing on the contrast, just recognize that you wouldn't know what you had if there wasn't a contrast. You know, one of the things that I really love, Brother Henry, about this age is that there's absolutely no possibility of me faking it. There's absolutely no possibility of me overcoming in this age by my own ability. It is not possible. That means it doesn't depend on me. It depends on Him. It means I'm counting on Him. But if I'm counting on Him, I'm looking to Him for leadership. I'm looking to Him for my decisions. I'm looking to Him for the direction in my life. Right? And His Word is speaking to us daily if we will just go to Him and seek Him. Amen. That we won't be caught unawares. So, we're not telling anybody here to act like a weirdo, okay? Can Johnny come out to play? No, he's waiting for the coming of the Lord. You want to go hunting with me, Brother Nick? Oh, no way. I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. What are you doing? I kind of like it if he came while I was hunting. That'd be all right. As John mentioned here earlier, when we go out hunting, we don't go out to get away from God. If anything, we spend more time with Him. We get off the what do they call that thing? The little habit trail, or you know, little thing that the hamster gets on. And anybody ever seen that? Some kind of a, what do they call that wheel? Just a hamster wheel? Insanity. Yeah, you spend money and this hamster gets on it, and what does it do? Where's it going? Nowhere. It's just running. And you look at it and think, ridiculous. But you know what? If we were able to rise up above where we live, we'd look down on the things that we do every day, thinking that you're getting somewhere, and you're just... And we make those things so important, right? There are eternal things that we want to be focused on. Recognizing that we have to occupy until He comes. Recognizing that we need to feed our family. We need to, if we're getting educated for a job, we need to get educated for a job, or whatever these things are. We need to do these things. But you can do these things and have God right in the center of whatever's happening in your life. How many knows that's true? The Lord came to me when I was in the middle of my engineering school. And that's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was what I went through in that school, because they were trying to keep the standards high and to make it keep a reputation for the school, a reputation for excellence and what have you. And so they actually, in some ways, made it harder than it needed to be. And they were still trying to weed, you know, normally you weed out people in their freshman or sophomore years. You kind of put them through some things to find out if they're serious or not and kind of weed them out. And some will say, well, you know, I didn't know about these Maxwell's equations and triple integrals and all that. And I didn't know that had anything to do with electrical engineering. I'm out of here. I'm going to be a mechanical engineer instead. Sorry, if you're a mechanical engineer, we're not making fun of you, but that's usually the direction that it would go, right? Because you found out that, wow, that's just not my bag, you know? I struggle with it or whatever. Well, if you struggle with it, then maybe there's you're cut out for something else. As we've said before, it doesn't mean that you don't belong on the bus, but you might be in the wrong seat. You need to maybe move to a different seat, right? So Sister Baker knows this is true, and then having attention deficit disorder, it is so hard for me to memorize things and to actually, the memorization part isn't hard, it's the recall. It's getting it to come back up. And so I would have to study extra hard, a lot harder than other people, so that I would be ready on the tests. And that's when this light came across my path. And so in the midst of that, I went to church. I still got good grades. And I inhaled the message, just devoured it. Just all of my free time, it was part of my life every day. So don't tell me that because you're busy, that there's no room for God. You make room. Thing is, God gave you time. And if your situation is such that there's no time for God, well, then you're in the wrong situation. Noah didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to get busy on this ark one day, but I'm busy. I'm sure he was busy that he got the ark done. So there is room for him in your life. And as we've said, you know, this is a big eye-opener to some people. Some people will never get this. Other people will get it at some point. But the fact of the matter is, you do what you want to do. And you make excuses for what you don't do. Well, I'd do that if... When I was going to school, so I started when I was 25, I graduated when I was 30, I had two kids, and I was a white male in California. Affirmative action. So that meant I got no help. That meant that I was still paying for it 10 years after I graduated. We tried to pay for as much of it as we could along the way. That meant that we were living at the poverty level, or what would be considered the poverty level, while I was going to school. But the Lord provided. I have no complaints. We didn't have designer shampoo. Right? We had, you go to the store and you buy this, I don't know what it was, but you know, you could get it in a quart or a gallon. Or it would take a quart or a gallon to wash your hair, but anybody know what I'm talking about? You knew how much chicken cost. You knew how much beans cost. You knew 101 ways to prepare it. Potato, right? I'm not complaining. We weren't complaining. I didn't feel sorry for myself. If you're living in the poverty level here in America, you're living better than 2/3 of the world. We never went without, but we had to keep track of, we lived from paycheck to paycheck. But God provided. And I could have said, when I graduate from college, well, then I'll start reading my Bible. Well, then I'll start studying the message or whatever. I'm sure that I studied it more then than I do even now. Because it was all, I'm things that I'd wondered about my whole life, I'm getting answers to. I'm loving it. I'm thrilled by it. I probably cried more for a couple of years than I have my whole life. My wife would look over, why are you crying? I'm hearing something. I'm hearing truth. And it set me free. I'm in a relationship, as they say on Facebook. I found my face in the book. Found my face in His Word. And I'm in a relationship. Hallelujah. And I'm not looking for another. But He was the center of it all, friends. So many of you younger people, some are missing here tonight due to different things, and we understand, but several have come up. I've got this test, I've got this, I've got that, and would you pray with me that I can get through this? Well, that's how I got through everything. That's how I still get through everything. I told you it was the hardest thing I ever did. I'm sorry, I told you I was going to close, but I will close. Somebody needs to hear this. I can remember tests that I took in electromagnetics where I just didn't feel like I was ready. It's not because I was lazy. It's not because I didn't put in the time. I did. I did everything that I knew to do. But I still felt inadequate. And with every test, I called upon the Lord. Lord, help me. Bring these things to my remembrance. Give me a clear mind. Help me to be at peace about it. And to not worry. To just do all that I know to do, but to trust You. To commit it all into Your hands. And I can remember getting a paper back, one of the big exams, and 40% was on the exam, and thinking, oh my, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, I did the best I could, and then I'd find out that's the high score in the class, and I gave all the glory to Him. Because I asked Him. Friends, if we ask Him, we should be in expectation. And when he does, we should give Him thanks. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. And He will direct your paths. As Solomon said. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Put Him in every part of your life. Speaking to all different people at all different levels here tonight in our walks. But we need to just keep Him first in all things. And if you aren't in love with Him tonight, you need to fall in love with Him. This is not religion. This is not something that, if you get angry, well, He's hitting on that again, whatever. That's because you're not in love with Him. If you are in love with Him, you want to walk with Him. You want to do these things. You want to please Him. Amen? That's your desire. You're not being forced into it. You want to do it. And then He's going to give you testimonies every step of the way. Look at what the Lord took me through. He took me through this, and He took me through that, and took me through this. Isn't He wonderful tonight, friends? Blessed be His wonderful name. In other words, we're not going to wait till we get to the other side to find life. We're finding life on this side, a more abundant life than what anything we ever had before. And then there's the other side. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You for the simplicity of Your word. We're thankful, Lord, that You've written Your word so that the least amongst us would be able to get it. As You said Yourself in Your word, such that a fool would not err therein. In other words, You came to make things simple so that we could walk in them so we could take you at your word, that so we could trust you, so that you could lead us and guide us, so that you could do just what you said that you would do, and that we would look to you for all things and believe and trust. Lord, we're so thankful tonight for all that you've done for us, every step of the way. And we know that this work isn't finished, that you're the one that started this work is going to continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. So our expectation, Lord, is what you've started, you will finish. And Lord, we want to be sincere. We want to be focused. We want to keep our eyes on you. We want to keep our eyes on your word. We want to every day ask, what would you have me do? What is your will for me this day? How can I be used of you in this particular day? Because you've put me here for a purpose. May you be glorified in my life. May others see that hidden life of Christ as it's lived out. May the fruits manifest. May others be able to partake of those fruits. May they be blessed. May it cause others to seek you and to find you, to search for you. Lord, may our lives be centered on you first and foremost. And Lord, may we keep things simple. May we search everything out and take everything back to your word as we've been taught to. May we be convinced that it's from your word. And then once we're convinced, then we should be concerned for this lost and dying world, the part that you've called us to play in this hour. May we keep our focus, Lord. Father, we absolutely know that just like with work, we're going to miss work for this reason or that. We know that the same thing is true about church. We're not preaching a 100% attendance record. That isn't the point. But Lord, we're bringing before the body an attitude, an approach, a focus. And we're also bringing before the body the word of the Lord. Because our Paul, who was entrusted to the dispensation to the Gentiles, himself said, as we see that day approaching, meaning the day of your coming, that we would come together even the more so as we see that day approaching, not the less so, the more so. And the messenger to our age said that there would come a time where the church would not be able to wait for the doors to come open, to be there. That's an enthusiasm. That's an excitement. That's a desire. May that desire be on fire in each and every one of us, is our prayer. Lord, just as we know that we have to eat every day in the natural or we won't live, and your tender mercies to us, Lord, you could have made that just a chore, something that we'd grow tired of. But in your infinite grace and wisdom, you gave to us an appetite so that when it's time to eat, we look forward to it. And it may be something that we've eaten many, many, many times before, but we'll come forth with the same fresh desire. Well, if you've equipped us in such a way in the natural to sustain us, to sustain our natural life, how about our spiritual life? And I can say, Lord, I can say with a surety tonight that you've also equipped us to where when we feed upon your word, it puts us within us a desire to feed again and again. And it causes that appetite within us to grow and to be an expectation our next meal, not in dread, not out of some kind of a duty, but there's a stimulation that comes with that revelation We can enjoy it, and we are enjoying it, feasting upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray that your word would find its resting place in each and every heart. Father, as we commit these things in your hands, I wonder if there's anyone here this evening that want to lift your hand to him and say, Lord, I want to be more focused than what I've been in the past. I'm not saying that I haven't been focused, but I want to be more focused. I want to recognize that you've given me time for certain things to be done. And I want that time to be redeemed. And I want to make the best use of that. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the best of my life, not the leftovers. I know that you'll take it. You'll take whatever I'll give you, but you deserve the best. And I want to give you my very best. You gave me your very best. The least that I can do in return is to give you of what little that I have, that I give you the very best that I have. If that's you this evening, you want to just lift your hand to him in prayer. Father, you see hands all over the building. And Lord, I want to lift my hands tonight. I want to be more faithful. I'm not saying I'm unfaithful. I want to be more faithful, Lord. I want to be more focused, Lord. I want to be more aware of your kingdom and of other people's needs and of your desire than of anything natural in my own life, because you have taught us, Lord, and you've proven it time and time again, that if we would seek you first and the things of the kingdom of heaven, that all of these other things would be added unto us. And Lord, we're a testimony here tonight that's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. We've never begged, done without. You are our provider, and we're so thankful for that tonight. I pray that you'd meet each and every one here tonight, Lord. Bless each and every one. Father, cause us if we don't have a focus, to find that focus, and if we do have that focus, to keep it before us, to get up every morning thinking this could be the day. So if this was my last day on earth, how would I want this day to be lived out? And if I knew that others were going to write about my last day on earth, what would I want them to write about my last day? What would I want them to say about that last day? How I lived that life. How I lived that last day. And yet, Lord, we know that we should be living every day as if it were the last day, because we don't know. And it's a blessed thing that we don't. We want to give you our very best, Lord. We want to keep our focus. We want to live our lives for others. We want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say to you tonight, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, to thy will. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The church says... Months as weeks, and count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. It won't be long. Till we'll be going home. And again, it won't be long. It won't be long till we'll be leaving here. It won't be long till we'll be going. So we'll count the years count the months as weeks. And we'll count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. Yes, we'll count the months as as days. Yes, we'll count the days. Any day now, I can't count. We'll be going home. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have that song, we haven't sang it for a while, but we're looking for His coming. We're looking for the coming of our blessed Savior. There it is. Okay, we'll start over. We're looking for His coming. The clouds of heaven coming back to earth to catch away His own. Then may we all be ready when the midnight cry is given to go and reign with Christ on His throne. Gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory. Oh, tell to one and all. Saints of the Lord, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for the final call. We're longing for the glory that awaits a faithful who shall overcome and every conflict win. Press ever bravely onward. The prize is life eternal to all who win the fight over sin. Herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory. Oh, tell the one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord. Why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for the final call. We're praying for the advent of our blessed Savior, who has promised life to all who trust His grace. His coming now is pending, the message being given, and soon we'll see our Lord face to face. So gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory. Tell the one and make ye saints of the Lord, why suffer when the